that. Good morning. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. We'll get to some state politics this hour. Plus, want to hear from you when we talk about show finales. We've got Big Bang Theory ended last night, Game of Thrones on Sunday night. Can you ever be happy when your favorite show ends? Also, we have a list of some good show endings and some not-so-good show endings, as you've lined them up on the text line, a couple of stories out there. Also, I want to add this to the mix. I'm telling you all about Cottage Hill Package a lot, of my friends, the Manis family, and I'm usually focused, because I am who I am, on the craft beer events going on out there. I had a great one last night with Red Clay Brewing out of Opelika. But yes, for those that enjoy the grapes,
The vino, right?
They have their Toast to Summer wine event with Jam Cellars and Epa Sangria. That's coming up on the 24th. That's a week from today.
Jam Cellars. What a cool name for a
It is pretty cool.
A wine company.
And they are going to give you those samples, those free tastings of some of their wines to see if you like them. And just like the craft beer thing, you find out you like it, then you grab a bottle. That's how it works. But it's a free event from 6 to 8 this coming Friday night at Cottage Hill Package, corner Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online cottagehillpackage.com, or make sure to give them a like over on Facebook. All right, so we've been very busy on the text lines as people have told us about their most satisfying or the ones that bothered them show finales out there. I think my favorite right now, two of them, has to be Thundercats. That was a tearjerker.
Was there a real series finale for Thundercats?
I don't know. I just remember, like, the Dan that sent the text in. I mean, if you're a child of the 80s, that show, that cartoon was on a lot. And then Dink suggested MacGyver. And I'm embarrassed to say, I don't remember the MacGyver ending. But no, on the serious end, Breaking Bad, some people say they hated the ending. Some people say they, you know, were satisfied. I guess you can love the ending. I mean, even if it's your favorite show, you feel like, and this is, you know, I like Game of Thrones, so I'll be interested. I feel like they're really pushing it too fast. I think this season, it's like, hurry up. You know, you'll be reading a book, right? Like, so I read more than I watch television, but you'll be reading a book, and you're just at that point, probably three quarters through the book, when you're really into it, and you just want to consume the words on the page, and you're really into the story, and then all of a sudden you start feeling the forward motion going because they're going to close out the book.
Yeah, they just need to wrap it up, especially like with Game of Thrones. They kind of put their own deadline.
How you could ever, I mean, that story, there's so many characters, so many things going on. I mean, you're kind of in a pickle there for ending it, but it does feel like they have accelerated the process this season at a fevered pitch.
And there are, you know, some shows that everybody, like water cooler shows, they used to call them, where everybody would watch that night and then talk about it the next morning at work or wherever they were. And there's a couple that people are split on. Now, I've always heard that the Lost season finale, series finale, that a majority of people dislike that. But there's a lot of people out there who think the show Lost ended the way it should. But then there's Sopranos, which you and I both watched, which had a different ending than most any series finales by leaving it for the viewer to decide, basically.
Even though I was a little shocked when it cut to black, you know, in retrospect, that's the only way to have ended that show. That was good.
Yeah, I think so. Some of the good endings that I've kind of gathered from our text line and looking online, Parks and Rec, that's a show that I watched, another comedy sitcom. I thought they ended that show in a really great way. Newhart, a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, all a dream sequence.
Okay, so that's what the end of Newhart was.
Yeah, I agree with them. I think the Newhart ending was good.
Also, a lot of people happy with the ending of Mad Men. That's another one of those. Maybe the last water cooler show before streaming really took over, Mad Men.
Have if you have a digital water cooler place like social media, you know, I mean Twitter for example, or something, you have somewhat of a social media water cooler there. And so some of these shows are, you know, that the idea of the three networks, everybody watch the same show, are gone, but you don't need it. Okay, in the old days you had three networks and you had a water cooler show, everybody was kind of watching one show, but you're only audience for what you thought about a show or the people you worked with or your family members or whatever. Now, in the balkanized world of digital, you don't have enough people probably in any given setting to watch the same show, but you go online and you have a gigantic water cooler full of people.
The thing is, all of those people hate everything.
They do.
Online.
They do. There's something about online that makes people... just be a contrarian out there and put positive things online, because it seems like everybody online is just... They're angry. They hate this. They're enough of that. This is the worst.
Yeah,
it's nice to go on there and say, hope you all are having a good day.
And that's how I feel about Game of Thrones this year. I mean, everybody seems to hate it. My only gripe was the really dark episode they had this year where literally dark, like too dark to see the screen.
That's right, my where I hit the adjust on the screen to try to...
Some of the really bad series endings that a lot of people seem to agree on. Dexter. Did you ever watch Dexter?
I'm going to be the worst on this list. Yeah, let's look for the things I've seen.
Okay, so that Dexter on Showtime had a really bad series finale. Seinfeld, a lot of people said they did not like the finale of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people on the text line say it was a letdown.
And then another sitcom, How I Met Your Mother, because the name of the show is basically the premise of the entire show. It's this one guy, and on his journey, it's Bob Saget is the older gentleman who's the narrator for the show, and he's telling his kids how he met their mother. That's how the series starts, and then whatever, 10 years later, that's how the series ends. You finally meet the mother. Well, a lot of people not very happy with the ending of that sitcom. Okay. But it seems like a lot of people happy with last night's Big Bang Theory series.
Yeah, that's getting positive reviews. Tina in Orange Beach says, when I was a kid, the Carol Burnett show ending was a real tearjerker. You know, Tina, I don't remember it, but with the passing of Tim Conway this week, I was thinking about how funny that whole crew of people were and how much, she said, you could tell the celebrities really loved each other. I think they did. I mean, the way their comedy timing and the fact that they could crank each other up so easily makes me agree with you there. I just don't remember that finale. Let's see here.
Cheers. A lot of people saying Cheers had one of the best finales. Now
is kind of cool because Dalton's 20 years my junior. Uh-huh. He has chosen to take on Cheers, and you're watching that.
I've been watching about an episode a week, so I'm on season seven. I guess I can finish that in about 10 years. So maybe by then the spoiler alert will have worn off for me. But a lot of people love the ending of Cheers.
All right, Donnie says. The two things here. First of all, Donnie says, the last show with Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. Donnie, I don't do a lot, and you would think people that work in this business, I would have, I guess in music, I have big catalogs and collections, but in TV, I don't have tons of recordings of things. But Donnie, I have the recorded on VHS, for you youngsters out there, this thing we used to use, VHS. Donnie, I have a recording of Carson. I was such a fan of Carson. Which I, in the early years, I was not allowed to watch, and I would sneak around and watch. Later years, obviously, I got old enough I could watch it. Big fan of Carson's, just at so many levels. Just in respect to the legacy of Johnny Carson. I have that on VHS. I have that whole last episode. Now, Donnie, it's been a decade or two since I've watched it, but you're right. That was a fantastic one.
I'm going to need to borrow that VHS and a VCR if you have one of those.
I still have one blinking 12 o'clock at the house somewhere that I can lend you.
Apparently, 50 million people watched that finale.
See, that's Johnny Carson finale. That was back in the days when people all kind of watched the same things. Mm-hmm. Also, Donnie says... Donnie, I'd forgotten. Why are you putting these worms in my head here? Donnie said, Magnum P.I., the ending of Magnum P.I. I hadn't thought about that, but he said, you never found out if Higgins was Robin Masters. You're right, Donnie. Now I got to worry about that. Did we ever find that out? Somebody says Dallas. But I was not a consumer of the show. Mm-hmm. What the season or the series finale of Dallas was.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've never watched an episode of Dallas or the redo. Didn't they redo Dallas recently?
I think, unfortunately, they did.
Yeah.
Then MASH, Philip, and many others talked about MASH. Yeah, I said MASH was one of those that I think the audience in general liked. It was sad, but people liked the finale of that. We heard from Philip was talking about Babylon 5. Mm-hmm. He thought that was a good series finale. And then this text here from Keith says Star Trek The Next Generation was a great finale. Maybe it's something with that whole universe of shows that had good finales.
Yeah, lots of Star Trek fans. Or you could do what The Simpsons and South Park have done. That's just never have a series finale. Just keep it rolling forever and ever and ever.
What I love about South Park is they're even asking to have their show canceled, and they still can't get it canceled.
No one will cancel it.
All right, well, we're taking your suggestions there on the text line, and I'm sure there's some that we haven't thought about, and Dalton's got some lists here we'll read through this hour. Plus, we'll talk about some Alabama bills that aren't not the abortion law, about what's happening with Lotto, what's happening with medical marijuana, and also we'll look at Washington. And anything we missed this week, roundup time, 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, so series finale favorites or not so favorites out there, but I said that I liked this one a bunch, and every year that goes by, and y'all, I was a really big Sopranos fan.
I'm right there with you on that one.
I thought David Chase did a great job, so we'll see. You can disagree on the text line or on the phone. We'll be right back.
Just a small town girl
23 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. By the way, if you are if you have yet to go look at the Facebook post or the page within our website, fmtalk1065.com, for the details on the Big Green Deal, this is something you need to do here and over the weekend, and then start getting registered. Over $9,000 worth of goodies to be given away. We're going to do it over the next month. So you got to get registered to win. All the details on how and those really cool prizes listed out right there. We'll talk more about this, but it's going on now. Don't say we didn't tell you. Okay? All right. And we'll grab some phone calls, a couple things rolling here, some stories that we need to get to. But there's a story I want to get to this morning. I didn't have a chance to get to it earlier. But this SAT story.
Yeah.
And this, to me, this is one of these stories that it's its own story, but it's also an emblem. It's an emblematic story. So here, the story as it reads, it says, the College Board has announced it's going to start giving more context about a student's background that will accompany their SAT exam score during the college admissions process based on various factors, including some outside of the classroom, in an effort to increase diversity. The new tool called according to the College Board, is called the Environmental Context Dashboard, and will give more information about a student's background based on where they attended high school, like average family income, family structure, and crime in the area. The move comes as college admissions process as the college admissions process as a whole has been under intense scrutiny following a scandal that revealed several individuals were involved in a college admissions cheating scam. All right, if the SATs want to make it to where folks from all kind of communities can take the SAT, can do that, get those scores, hopefully go to college, I'm for it. If you're going to change the outcome, not based on the Scantron test, but on some other measure, doesn't that dilute the value of the SAT?
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that? So, and we'll see exactly. I got to go look through this dashboard. But the last sentence of this story is what bothers me. If the SAT folks are doing this because of the cheating scandal, okay, if they are changing their test because somebody defrauded the system, they are now, the first injury is being defrauded in the scam by rich folks paying people to take their kids' tests, which is beyond wrong. But the SAT folks weren't in on it. But in this world of, you know, constant genuflect and mea culpa, that they're going to change something about the methodology here to make up for somebody scamming them. How about this? The response I would have from the SAT is, we're going to make it, and we're going to double check, and we're going to have IDs and fingerprints and all these things to make sure the student is the person taking the test. That is a legitimate answer to being scammed. Saying that we're going to make this dashboard and all this other stuff is not. And it's the problem in the world where, okay, the latest story, and it was a kind of a joke I had a couple weeks ago, but a kid gets caught in an igloo cooler a month or two ago down in Florida. He's goofing on his parents. He goes outside on their porch or coming in from fishing or whatever and gets in this cooler, has a marine latching lid. Now, this is in my wheelhouse. I have a dog in this hunt.
Right.
I'm a big fan of that latch for igloo coolers because you run boats and all that stuff. The ones that come on it just don't get it done. They're now going to change that and get rid of that because a kid chose to go get in this thing and the latch fell closed. Same thing with gas cans, right? You can't have the vent in the back because people went and slung gas onto open fires and then would catch themselves on fire. The reaction doesn't seem to make sense to the initial situation. And in this SAT story, it's even more than those other two product liability issues. In this, a third party scammed the SAT. And so instead of their reaction being, we're going to tighten security measures at SAT, they say, we're going to add a dashboard.
Right. Well, is it the answer to the cheating scandal, or is it that they're trying, in their minds, to equal out the recruiting in college? Because the way I read it, you know, they call
but
this...
But they said following the scandal revealed several individuals involved in the college admission scam.
But they're calling this the adversity index that they've added here. And,
right.
And it seems like it would put...
They're saying they're going to balance out these people that are scamming the system, rich people scamming the system, by making it easier for people from disadvantaged communities to do better in the SAT, I guess?
I feel like they're just using that as an excuse to kind of further this, you know, to keep I don't know. It seems like that they have gotten in trouble in the past for having more white people going to college and more Asian Americans right. going to college. And they're calling this adversity index. Have you seen what goes into the adversity? So they rank each individual, and the students don't see their adversity index score, but they base it on the neighborhood environment, family environment, and high school environment. So based on the crime rate of the student, poverty rate, housing values, vacancy rate, and then with the family, median income, whether they're in a single-parent household, their education level, ESL, I'm not sure what that means, and then the high school environment, undermatching how rigorous the curriculum is, the free lunch rate, and the AP opportunity. So they've added this adversity index in there now, and I guess they started it last year with 50 schools, and now they're expanding it to at least 150.
Does that change your score of the SAT?
I think that it adds maybe an extra thing for them to look at alongside your SAT score.
Okay, well, if it's outside of the actual score, I still think it's not the right reaction to getting scammed by rich folks. How about you tighten down security and make sure that you have truth in testing? But if it doesn't change the score, I'm not as bothered by it.
But
because if you start changing the score that way, then people will, in their mind, whether they say it publicly or not, they'll discount the scores based on that as well, and you end up back at the level where it should be.
But if you're a kid from Beverly Hills mm-hmm. who doesn't cheat on it at all, and you make let's say 1200 on the SAT, and you're able to get into a nice school out there in California, mm-hmm. but a kid from Compton makes let's say 150 points less than you, but mm-hmm. because they're from a tougher neighborhood, maybe a single family household, and they get in over you. Is that right?
Well, okay. So if the college decides, it depends on if they take, let's say this college takes no government money mm-hmm. and they decide they want to do that, good for them. They can put that feather in their cap. As long as the score, there's a baseline standard that's accurate, right? As long as 1200 means 1200, 1100 means 1100. That way you have something to work off of. You know, I would like to flip around on this. I would like to take away all connections with schools and not let people influence and just let the best person and scores get in. You can adjust, I understand, for different schooling in the background. And if individual colleges want to do it, that's fine. But if SAT is going to change the methodology this way because they got scammed by rich folks, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Coming right back. Puts me in a pickle here. Reminds me of the classic Casey Kasem outtake. I was going to roll out and mention the fact that Grumpy Cat passes his age 7 and I have Sheik's Good Times playing. I don't...
Oh, come on.
Can't I get a down-tempo record when I got a... Can we not come out of... into a Grumpy Cat dies story without a... Can something down measure, something in minor keys or something? God, plus I can't get anything done around here.
Yeah, Good Times always comes on at the wrong time.
That's right. Or wrong. Grumpy Cat. If y'all didn't check, Grumpy Cat, which mm-hmm. is one of those memes. There's so many memes out there show up online. They're funny for like a day, and then I'm over them. There's something about it. Now, I am a strange dude, and I realize that, but the frowning face of a cat just continues and now with Grumpy Cat's passing, I will still be amused by the frown from the cat. I just, that and the fat cat. There's a couple different fat cats out there, but there's one
okay,
it's like orange and yellow tabby that's bigger, incredibly fat, and there's like the Photoshop it in like I'm going to eat your head or I'm eating you or whatever. That cat makes me laugh as well.
Bigger than Garfield.
Even. Oh my gosh, I could eat Garfield.
Yeah, easily. You know, well, Grumpy Cat wasn't one of those posers. You know, as we look back at the life of Grumpy Cat,
Cat in memoriam.
You can get a picture of a cat or a dog or a horse, really any animal. You can get them at a grumpy moment, depending on when you snap the picture. But Grumpy Cat stayed grumpy and actually always died as she lived because went out with a UTI. I mean, I can't imagine anything making Grumpy Cat more grumpy than having a UTI as she as her life came to an unfortunate end at the age of 7.
Yeah, that's sad, you know, and we think, let's say it's dog years, 49, way too young mm-hmm. For passing a Grumpy Cat. We did have, in the 6 o'clock hour, somebody had said their mom's cat was 23.
Wow.
Still living in 23. I was thinking about my aunt had a cat, Inky, that I think made it to 18, and Inky got about killed by a truck out on the road when Inky was about nine. Mm-hmm. Inky put back together and survived to 18. Do a lot of laying around, holding furniture down at my aunt's house. But yeah, so Grumpy Cat, way too soon. Mm. Way too soon. Somebody say the other day, it's, you know, we have, it comes in threes.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody's they're worried about Keith Richards now.
Yes, yes.
So. Anytime, you know, anytime that a celebrity passes away, like today with Grumpy Cat, and that comes up that they pass in threes, Keith Richards has been that name that pops up for the last, I don't know, 20 years where people are watch out for Keith Richards.
Leave him out because he's not dying anytime soon.
And you know, a scare with Ric Flair yesterday. I guess Ric Flair was in the hospital. He had a health scare. And there were differing reports out whether he was facing the end coming up here or whether he's rebounding and coming back. But Ric Flair having a health scare also. So watch out
for
that.
So would it be Grumpy Cat and Ric Flair?
And Ric Flair. Yikes.
Would it have to be celebrity animals die in threes? Can it be animals and humans in the same, you know? Wondering about that. All right. A couple things to look at here. The lotto bill that, and you'll say, what? Which one? Right. Good question. Mm-hmm. Well put. The paper, the clean lotto bill is making some action here in the House. Let me tell you the kind of subtlety that you don't get in the news headlines with this. So remember, there were two lotto bills, the McLottery, which was Senator McClendon's bill that had the digital lotto in it. It just didn't get the traction. Then you had Senator Albritton's bill that is what we'll call the clean lotto bill or the paper lotto bill. One of the arguments there was the fact that it was going to go 100% to the general fund, although that's not completely accurate. It was going to go to repay one of those places the state of Alabama has gotten money from to balance our budget over the last 5 years, the oil and gas trust fund. You know, that's just like Social Security has a lock box, except we take the universal key, the big snippers, and cut the lock and go into it. So I think it's $170-180 million that's owed to the oil and gas trust fund. So the lotto revenues were going to go partially to pay that back and then to the general fund. But remember when we first started talking about this issue, I said, I don't see how they get lotto through without saying it's for the kids. You know, the problem is, at that point, before anything happened in session, I said road and infrastructure is an issue, prisons are an issue, but those aren't things that people want to buy lotto tickets for. They want to feel good that they're doing something for the kids. So guess what has crept back into this? Now we're looking at the adjustment being a 75-25 split for lotto funds, with 25% going to education trust fund, which is a whole nother budget, y'all. Remember, we have a general fund, which is 93% earmarked, and then we have the education trust fund. They are separate budgets, and without major wrangling and tricks and sleight of hand, really the two budgets do not commingle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 25% would go to education trust fund, 75% would go to general fund. So maybe I'll still have my win saying that there wouldn't be a lotto pass without an element of for the kids in it. But here's what's happened. So the Senate passed the original lotto bill with 100% going to the general fund and the paper lotto on the narrowest of margins it could have come out of the Senate on. It goes to the House, and there are changes like we're talking about being made in the House. And the House seems to be in agreement. Problem is, it has to go back to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And unless those changes would bring new people in and not run more of those people out that signed off on it the first time, it's not a sure thing. People say, oh, it's doing well in the House. Yeah, it is, but it still has to go back through the Senate. So, and remember this too. People think, okay, they're going to get something done in Montgomery here at the end of session, then we're going to be buying lotto. No. If they'll get done in session, there'll be two parts. Number one, if this passes, you'll have a constitutional amendment on the ballot. It'll have some kind of, you know, legalese, long flourished language that says, you know, to change the constitution of the state of Alabama to be able to have gambling, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that would be the first part. So first thing would have to happen is a constitutional amendment to change Alabama to where you could have gambling, even though laughable, right? We don't have it now. So that would change. And then you would have the second part of the bill. The second bill would be, okay, so we're going to do this, and the lotto is going to look like this. It's going to be called this. We're going to have this department's going to oversee it. We're going to build a building. We're not going to build a building. We're going to sell lotto tickets at convenience, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The stuff on how it works would be in that part. Okay, you're not looking at lotto. Even if everything worked perfectly for lotto, because there are people talking like, hey, oh, by June, we could. No, it's going to be into 2020 if it goes through, before you buy in Lotto. Yeah, so don't think this is happening anytime soon.
You talked about it making it through the Senate with the slimmest of margins. Mm-hmm. Last week, I guess, is when that went through Senate, or maybe the week before.
Week before, yeah.
And with these changes, I wonder, though, if they won't bring more people over by adding in the education.
I think they can bring some, but you're also, I think, will lose some in the Senate. So you got to make up for the votes, the yes votes you had, okay? You might lose those. Mm-hmm. And it depends on how many changes they make in the House. Let's say the only substantive change that comes through in the House is this 25% for the ETF. Then maybe you can still make it through. But if you make other changes, you're going to be senators that voted yes on the original bill that will now vote no. So you got to find enough yes votes to balance them out and then get more.
And they did make one more small amendment change, and that's to add they allocate 0.25%.
Here we go. Here we go, Alabama.
Towards combating, you know, gambling addiction. So they'll take 0.25% of the lottery profits.
I think every lotto does that, right?
I think I feel like it's almost a prerequisite, almost like we thought adding money into the education fund of whatever state, because I can't think of a state that doesn't have their lottery on behalf of, you know,
Children.
Education. Every single time
for the children.
Every time I see a Tennessee lottery advertisement, they're always saying money goes towards education.
And if you ask any questions about it, that means you hate children.
Yes, and that's why maybe I think it has a pretty good chance of passing through the Senate, because then you can go to your senator and say, do you hate children?
Yeah,
is that why you're voting against this now?
Obviously, yeah, that'll be the unfair argument. Obviously, by your vote there, you hate children. I want the people of Alabama to have the right of referendum on this, on the lotto, and I think it'll pass. But it's not like a major thing to be. I like it for the idea of liberty. You notice that it doesn't ever get sold like that out of Montgomery. It's sold because of revenue, right? They want it because of money. It's something that they can vote for, not get in too much trouble, and brings more revenue in. I like the idea of people having the right to do it if they want. If the people vote they want to do it, then do it. Mm-hmm. But if you think that it is, now, can it help? Sure, that money can help in the general fund. And it can, like, my theory is, if you could put it in the general fund and almost have it, I think we used a football analogy one time, like a monster back. Have a back you can move in the defense, mm-hmm. like you have your linebackers, and then you move this. If that money could go in, I know it's worrisome, because that means we have to trust people in Montgomery. But as we have a 93% earmarked budget, and so many revenue streams are allocated to a specific part of state government, not taking into account whether that part of state government is needed as much this year as the next year or the year before. It gets the same funding. And other areas that need more money from the state, they don't get more money. So it could give the ability, like you would with your family budget. You have your bills, but you also have the extra money that, oh, well, we got to have money to pay for the new air conditioning, mm-hmm. or we have to have money to do this or that. It could let the state do that and not always be hand-to-mouth like we are. I think that would be good. But you can't plan state budgets based on, I'm sorry, I guess they say lotto, isn't it? It's a game of chance.
Right.
And the game of chance for the state is, will those revenues be predictable? Can you can you tell people going forward what those revenues will be, like you can with a property tax or something like that? You can probably average things, but to plan on next year's fiscal, you know, spending based on what you got in lotto the year before could also leave you holding the bag.
Yeah, it could. And I like your idea of having a rover.
Rover.
You don't know where you need the money, so just keep that
And if they don't need the money, then it goes into... Now, because in this case, normally I'd say, well, give the taxpayers back their money. But in this case, it's a voluntary tax mm-hmm. of lotto. So I would say there has to be some kind of fund, just the same way we have the oil and gas trust fund, that if they didn't... which I know y'all are laughing, they didn't find somewhere to spend the money. I know, I'm with you. But if they didn't find somewhere that needed the money, then it would go into that fund and be the emergency fund for the state of Alabama. So I don't know if people have forgotten what the budgeting process from 2007 on in the state was. Even with right-sizing government and cutting government down where it was wasteful, which I was a supporter of, it was BP money, mm-hmm. it was oil and gas trust fund money, it was federal money. We didn't have enough money. We magically found that extra $50 in the jacket pocket at the end of the month to pay our bills, is what we did in Alabama. I don't want to end up back there. That is not the way to run government.
And I wonder if that's not the reason that spurned this year of changes in the Alabama legislature, with medical marijuana still being on the and that wouldn't bring in very much money according to their estimations. But with the lottery, they're estimating $167 million a year in net revenue from the lottery. So that would be a pretty good chunk of change.
That's good. Yeah, that's their estimate. Okay, that's the rosiest picture. And you pointed out something on the marijuana front. This is on the recreational side, but you were looking at Nevada.
Yeah, so Nevada, they've had recreational marijuana legal. I think 2018 was the first year. And of course, gambling's been legal there for a very long time. And casinos in general, penny slots make more than just about anything in the entire country gambling.
The grandparents of the world financing big casinos.
That penny slots make all the money for casinos. Sports betting in Nevada last year made, I think, right around $300 million, while recreational marijuana, if I remember correctly, brought in $450 million for Nevada.
So, big weed, bigger than big casinos.
Bigger than big sports gambling.
Bet on green.
That's right.
All right, 850, coming right back. At 854 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Usually talk to my buddy Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins during the midday show, but I have some scheduling issues today. So I said, hey, man, can you hop on and talk to us this morning? And, well, he said, yes. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going this morning?
Good. What's happening at the shop today? If people want to stop by, I mean, is it the grads and dads time right now?
Oh, it really is. A lot of people are coming by the shop buying the 2019 American Silver Eagle, buying some of the engravable pieces we talk about so often. You can get a custom message engraved right here at the shop. We're here today till 5, and Saturday we're open from 9 to 2. So you can come by, you know, get a last-minute gift for somebody. And for those people that actually plan ahead, not like you and I, you know, maybe get two things. One for the graduation and one for the kid's next birthday or something.
Right, or the graduation you haven't thought of, because usually you're like, okay, oh, I've got my niece or my nephew or something like that, and then you forget, oh, yeah, and then there's the ones that live up in St. Louis. Oh, darn it, I forgot. I got to get them one, too.
Well, exactly. We now have people coming in, and they go, okay, we've got 6 graduates, and then we need 2 spares. And, hey, if you don't use it, you've still got an ounce of silver. It's all good.
That's for sure, and there's so much else to see at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Tell them how to find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can check out some of the pictures on Facebook. Just like and follow Mobile Bay Coins there. Or check out our new website, mobilebaycoins.com.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Let's go to the phones, grab maybe one more here before we wrap it up for this morning. Pete is in Mobile. Hey, Pete.
Hey, man, on the lottery. So the estimate is $160 million that it would come in.
167 or something like that, yeah.
167, you know, that still would only pay for 5 maritime museums. So,
do you think we should put another Gulf Quest, put this one up on the Tennessee, one on up on the Alabama and Montgomery?
Okay, because then we could get more of those boondocks. I guess the point is, no matter how much money comes in, they're going to find a way to waste it, and so all these states that have lotteries, they still have budget shortfalls. The problem isn't so much the revenue or what we're going to do with this amendment. It's fiscal responsibility and trying to get the folks there in Montgomery to just spend less than they spend the year before. And if we could do a penny plan or something like that, we would do fine. Problem is, we get more money. It's like giving, you know, drugs to a drug dealer or alcohol to an alcoholic. They'll just drink it up.
Well, and it's true at some levels of government. Lord knows we have seen the waste, but there are, you know, legitimately there are functions of government that need done, and maybe they're not getting the funding they need because we're spending money elsewhere. I mean, there are things that government is supposed to do that I want them to do.
Well, yeah, but remember, before we had an income tax, we had an Army and a Navy and a Marine Corps and cities. And we did just fine, you know.
Right, but we could also say that, you know, we can go back to the history machine. There's no way to peel off that many layers of paint, you know. So we got to, and I'm with you. You and I got probably the same spirit, but the pragmatism of where we are now, I think you got to do the best with what you got out there. All right, wrapping it up, Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Anybody just... Should we do a moment of silence for Grumpy Cat?
I think Grumpy Cat deserves a moment.
All right, there you go.
That's pretty good.
All right, there you go, Grumpy Cat. RIP and Kitty. Have all nine lives used up.
Yeah, that's right. Don't forget, enter the Big Green Deal. You got now through July the 3rd to enter 7 locations for you to drop your name into the entry box.
All right, y'all have a great one.